September and autumn arriving, back to school, and Labor Day. Happy Labor Day weekend, by the way, everybody. This time of year conjures in each one of us different sentiments. We know that 48 degrees in the morning yesterday. Boy, I thought, boy, it's coming, huh? Sun's moving again. Pretty soon we're gonna smell fall, pumpkins, frost on the pumpkin. Is there any more, anything more visible than autumn than frost on a pumpkin? And fall sports. Of all the sports I participated in my education, wrestling and track, it's football that has been the most dear to me. And it's not what I learned during the game while I played the game. It's the lessons of life that I still remember. Now, I was never a standout. I was never great, which is for the better. I don't even know if I was an average athlete, but I was a part of the team. Being a part of the team, when you're nothing spectacular, taught me that I was part of something greater than myself. I was part of something better than I was, which is a good lesson in life. I enjoyed getting to know my teachers outside of the classroom. That was cool. And above all, my high school sports were opportunities where I was forced to become social in environments where I never would have. I was forced to do by myself different things socially. Competition, egos, the best of people, and sometimes the worst of people. And that's essentially the real world, right? Competition, egos, and the best and the worst. I also have things that I remember from coaches that are still making impressions on me today. We had a special teams coach, and every week, and we waited for it, often on Thursdays before game days, he would say emphatically, if you don't feel the cost of football, you're not living the game as you should. Oh, I remember that's exactly, it was word for word. If you don't feel the cost of football, gentlemen, you're not living the game as you should. Now, as teenagers, we weren't really sure what that meant. But as we grew older, we know, and I learned, that anything of value comes at a cost. And it's not a monetary cost, it's a cost of our very self. It's a demand on myself. You who are parents here know the cost of being parents. We know the cost of maintaining the vocation we've chosen to live. The cost of a better health style, losing weight, dropping bad habits. Remember, my claim to fame will be quitting Copenhagen in 2004. I felt the cost of that, and in some ways I still do. There's also the cost of our careers, and I'm speaking about all this because in Luke chapter 14 today, our Lord talks about costs. He uses two images. The image of building a tower and the image of a king going into battle. He uses these two images to teach us that just as there is a cost to building a tower and a cost to waging war, there's also a cost to follow him, a cost of discipleship. And he names three. And the first one is what Bishop Barron calls the greatest slap in the face challenge our Lord ever gave us. Jesus said, unless you hate your mother and father, brother and sister, wife and children, indeed your very self, you cannot be my follower. Now, we all get a little bent out of shape when we hear that word hate. But the Semitic meaning for hate, long ago, and even should be for today, is to turn away from, to disassociate oneself from. So I can stand here confidently, for example, and tell you that I do, and I eat anything, and I wasn't brought up to be fussy, but I hate pickled pig's feet in gelatin cubes. Have you had it? The kids don't know. It's not even served to kids anymore. It should be illegal. Galarai, right? Pickled pig's feet in gelatin cubes. Russian jello. Now, I'll eat it to be polite. And in the sacristy, we were talking about hogs being slaughtered next month, and I might give it a shot. I'll try it again. But I hate that. I've turned away from it. I've disassociated myself from it. So when our Lord says that we are to hate our mother and father, brother and sister, wife and children, indeed, I am to hate my very self, it means that I am to turn away. And our Lord wants an undivided heart. That's challenging. That's a cost. The second cost is that we are to carry our cross. Each of us has a cross that we are to carry. We often like to carry someone else's cross. We have to carry our own cross. You carry your cross, I'll carry my cross. Jesus said we have a God-given challenge in life we have to carry. And we should do it knowing that it is our plan to carry it. And finally, he says that we must renounce our possessions. Jesus said, unless you renounce your possessions, you cannot follow me. It means that we are not to live for our possessions. Can we have them? Of course. But they are not our satisfaction in life. Can we enjoy them? We better, but we don't live for them alone. The cost of following our Lord. It's quite a gospel, my dear people. It's quite a gospel, right? Like we always used to say in the seminary, what if it's true? Well, it is. There's the cost of our pride, the cost of our self-centeredness, and right now you are giving the cost of your time to come here, to worship, to be in the presence of our Lord, and for our Lord to be in your presence. All right? We'll land it, huh? Should we land it? Traffic is backed up on Labor Day weekend. So as we now move into fall sports, and we're about to be inundated with football. Thank God. Let's remember my old special teams coach from Williston years ago, reminding us as kids to feel the cost of football, or we're not living the game. And let me ask you, do you feel the cost of following Jesus? Do you feel that cost? Because if not, we may not be living our faith as we should. But not just the cost of our faith. Are we living the other costs we are called to in our life? And you know what they are. Costs that all have a demand on us. A demand that's challenging, but a demand that is lightened by the help of our Lord and our faith. Amen. Let's stand and profess what we believe.